This is Doug Miller. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time. By the grace of God and the love and mercy of God, one more time, this side of eternity, to speak into this mic, to tell forth the truth. The Lord is coming back. His coming draws nigh. I don't know how much longer we can go on with this broadcast, but as long as we are here and as the Lord gives us grace, it is our privilege in dialogue to be a part of seeing this word go out. So you come along. We're in the 9th chapter of Acts. Open up your Bibles. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Dialogue comes to you every week at this time, at this station. As the result of the support of Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the point and purpose of seeing this word go out. And as I've said many times, we are utterly dependent on you, our listeners, to keep us on the air and going out. And as you pray for us and as the Lord lays this on your heart, please support Dialogue. We would love to hear from you. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Always a great pleasure to hear, to know that we're reaching you, to know, you know, how far out we're going even, because we don't always know. But we get some real interesting surprises. So let us hear from you. And if you didn't get that mailing address, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you don't like to write with pen and ink, then email us. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net, and we will answer emails too. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And you can go on our webpage, dialogueministries.org. Once again, that's all one word, all small letters. The broadcasts are on there. You can pull them down and read about Dialogue and so on and so forth. Okay. When we left last time, we saw the Apostle Paul getting the surprise of his life. Or was it? Interesting question that the Lord asked him. And the question was, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the answer is immediately, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, Paul learned a couple of things here with this first encounter with Jesus, and these things stayed with him throughout his life. First off, he learned that Jesus is identified with his church in such a way that you cannot distinguish his church from him. Jesus didn't say to Paul, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" Oh, no. You lay your hand on the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to persecute them, and you have laid your hand on the Lord. That is just how closely he is connected and unified with his body. So I don't care who it is, the humblest believer out there, you had better understand, if you are unsaved and you don't like this gospel message, and you don't like Christians, and you have any thoughts about laying your hands on these people to do anything to them, you had better understand that you are laying your hand on the Lord. Now, This is interesting for a number of reasons. You know, the Lord said something to Abraham when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And you can read this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. The Lord said to Abraham, of Abraham and his descendants, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. And that's not the only place that God has said this. He who touches you, said God of Israel, touches the apple of my eye. And all of you people out there, if you don't like Jews and you think you're going to persecute the Jews, you had better understand something. You had better understand something and take it seriously. No nation, no people who have ever risen up to persecute the Jews have ever gone unpunished. And that goes for Germany and all of Europe, really, because they were all involved in this. You know, you can lay this on Germany all you want to about the Holocaust. Well, the French and the Poles and just about everyone in Europe were all involved pretty much in this, and they paid for it, and they paid big time. Now you look at what this business, it goes a lot farther than this, because the Lord Jesus is talking about the church here. Why are you persecuting me? Paul learned something, and it is from Paul that we are going to learn about the body of Christ. Paul begins to learn the lesson here, and he learns it further from the Lord Jesus being taught directly by him. And all of the teaching that we have in the New Testament about the body of Christ and the unity of Christ, of the body, and the unity of the body with the head, we learn that from Paul. Not a word about it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, or any of Peter's writings, or Jude's. You're not going to learn anything about the church to speak up from those individuals. Now, a lot of you people out here, you may have a lot of trouble with that. You may say, well, I can see, Miller, that you're one of those dispensationalists. Right. Glad you picked up on that. Right. That is the right way to understand the Bible and the Scripture and the New Testament and Genesis all the way through Revelation. And if you don't understand that, I'll pray for you. For all of you replacement theologians, I'll pray for you. For you covenant theologians, I'll pray for you. Because you're approaching it wrong, and you cannot possibly understand this New Testament from that approach. All right, we've got something else that Paul learned in this encounter. He learned that the Lord Jesus is a man in glory. Paul never knew Christ Jesus as the humble carpenter, the man who walked the dusty roads of Galilee, preaching to Israel with his gospel message going to Israel. This man who said when he sent his disciples out two by two, do not go to any Samaritan or to any Gentile. You go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have not come for any but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And if you don't understand that, you better go back and read it. Read Jesus' encounter with the Syrophoenician woman. And if you're saying, well, that can't be true. Oh, I'm a Gentile and so on and so forth. Hey, at his first coming, the Lord came to call Israel back. Only when they wouldn't come, only when they rejected him, did this message go out to the Gentiles. And this dispensation we are living in now, this dispensation of grace, is a different dispensation. The Lord Jesus came under the old covenant. He came under the covenant of the law. That didn't end until his resurrection from the dead and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And there were no Gentiles to speak of being called in by the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. Yes, he had some encounters with Gentiles, but that was not the force and the thrust of his earthly ministry. We've got something else going on now. We have got the Lord Jesus as a man in glory, the humble carpenter dressed in homespun whom men slapped and spat upon and said, prophesy, Christ. That man, raised up from the dead in glory and with power, has ascended back to the right hand of God and he is there, a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here is the man who now said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He will never be spat on again. He will never be slapped on or mutilated or mistreated. And Paul learns not only that he is in vital, unbreakable union with his body, but he learns that he is a man in glory, and Paul always presents him this way. I am telling you. And, you know, he says, if you can read this for yourself, if you don't like what I have said here, he said himself that we have known Christ Jesus after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. We don't know him that way anymore. And you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5 of what Paul said here. We don't know him that way anymore. We now know him as a man in glory. This glorified man at God's right hand. And I'm telling you, that is his place now, and that is how we as Christians know him. If you are, totally hung up, I can remember when I was a kid, back in Sunday school, in a Sunday school that never presented the gospel to me, in a church that never made clear to me what I needed to do to be saved. And if I could tell you the church, you would see the trouble that they're in right now because, you know, they're ordaining homosexuals and everything else. And in this Sunday school I was in, what did they talk about? Well, they loved to talk about Jesus, the carpenter walking along the dusty roads of Galilee. And there's nothing wrong with this. There is nothing wrong with this. It's a wonderful, beautiful message. Praise God for it. There is much to be learned from this and much that we can profit from, and we need to think about him in this way. But friends, if that's as far as you take it, you are not taking it far enough. The truth is, he was crucified, and he died bearing our sins, and he was raised up in glory and is seated at God's right hand. Well, look at what Paul says here. He, in verse 6, trembling and was astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? First question that he asked when he found out who he was and who he was dealing with. He was trembling. Now, Paul calls him Lord. Paul, in his letters, repeatedly signs himself as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. A bond slave does not have any rights. His rights are given over to the desires and wishes of his Lord. The Lord Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Some of you listening to me need to hear that one. You need to think about this. If you love me, said the Lord, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And Paul, we saw this last week, he said that he was the chief of sinners, and I told you at that time, that's not Paul's humble assessment of himself. That's the Holy Spirit, and he said, you put it down. That's the Word of God. And every time Paul characterizes himself as a bondslave of Jesus Christ and calls Jesus Lord to the glory of God the Father, that too is the Word of God. Paul could put this down because it was the honest assessment. From this moment on, he was characterized in this way. What wilt thou have me to do? Now, I want to say something about this. We know, and you know, if you have been well taught at all, and if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know very well this truth, because this is one that we hold to and preach and proclaim constantly. you know very well that you are not saved by your works. You are saved by grace through faith, by believing the gospel. The gospel comes, you believe it. God seals you against the day of redemption with His Holy Spirit, and you are saved. But there is such a thing as empty believism. There's such a thing as, oh, yeah, I believe that. And there is not one thing in the life to show that any change has taken place or that you believe anything. I want you to look at Paul's life here. Paul, the minute he owns Him as Lord, he says, what would you have me to do? And the response is immediately, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So the Lord responds. And the men, in verse 7, which journeyed with Him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no men, no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Paul is blinded by this experience. He is blinded to the world and the things of the world. And I'll tell you something. There are individuals out there, and you know them, and I know them, and I pray God I'm one of them. I'd like to think I'm one of them. You get a glimpse of the man in glory, and it changes your way of looking at things. The things of the earth dim and lose their value. Things change. And you can't look at the world and see it the way it was anymore. Paul is blinded. And he goes and is led by the hand into Damascus, and he is without food or drink for 3 days, sitting in darkness, as it were, physically, and yet he is about to get a whole new lease on life spiritually. And you know, the Lord Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. He came to call the blind into light. Remember the 9th chapter of John, where the Lord heals the man born blind? That man says, you know, to the Pharisees, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We sing that song sometimes, don't we? At the end of that chapter, the Pharisees say to Him, are you saying we're blind? The Lord Jesus said, if you were blind, I could heal you. But you say we can see, and therefore your blindness is going to remain. Paul has to be blinded physically, and he is about to have his eyes open spiritually and to behold the beauties and glories of the Lord and things he could never have imagined. And what a blessing he is going to be. Because this guy, Paul, is the man for this dispensation we're living in. And, you know, at the end of his life, he said, all they that be in Asia are turned away from me. I want you to know the man that's talking to you over this radio station is proud to say, by God's grace, I will not turn away from or forsake the teachings of Paul. I, by God's grace, intend to hold to this and to proclaim it. And when it comes to preaching the gospel, and when it comes to teaching about the church and the coming again of the Lord Jesus for His church, and the way the church is organized and the way it functions, here is a man, and you can put it in the bank, who is going to be talking to you all along about Paul, because here is the truth. Well, we read on here and we find there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, get a look at Ananias' response. Oh, Lord, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Lord, are you sure you've got this one right? I know who this guy. This is a murderous, hate-filled name. A man who hates the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you sure you're right about this, Lord? Well, of course the Lord's right. Of course he is right. The Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at this. You get a close look at this. The Lord does not save people in a very important sense, any other way. He is still revealing the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to men. He is still showing them his Son, Jesus Christ, as the one who went down into death and died and came up in newness of life, in resurrection life, rather. Not newness of life. He never, in a sense, left life a lot. But he came up in resurrection life and in power and glory. And he would still say to anyone that he has laid his hand on to save, I know him. I have chosen him. This individual is a chosen vessel. Chosen vessel. If you're saved today, you need to understand this. The Lord has chosen you to give you the Holy Spirit and to fill you with Christ, to open up the glories and beauties of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. The Lord has called you and has things for you to do that no one else can do, and I don't care what you say about yourself. Well, I'm just a guy, I deliver milk. I'm just a guy. I deliver mail. I'm just a nurse down here, a practitioner of some sort. I'm a plumber. I'm a mechanic. I don't care who or what you are. God's hand is on you. If you are saved and saved at all, you need to understand that God intends for you to do things. Now, it won't be what Paul was to do. Paul had a calling here. Look at this. He is to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. I will send him to the Gentiles. Boy, here's something that Ananias certainly was a Jew. And to hear something like this probably distressed him, and I'll guarantee you it distressed Paul. Paul was at this time still thinking of the Gentiles as unclean dogs. Well, get ready, Paul. Those are the very ones God is going to send you to. Now, friends, I hope you have listened closely to what I've said today. And if you are not saved, I hope you'll get saved right now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.